Okay. It begins in Genesis 19, if everybody has their Bibles or iPads or whatever you turned there. In Genesis 19, we have the story of God rescuing Lot. And we sort of looked just a tad at Lot in our study of Abraham and how that Lot was actually saved by Abraham when the kings were at war and the kings of Sodom was involved and they were taken. And then we have the story of Abraham saving them. And then we have the story of Melchizedek. And so then now we find Lot and his family. They're back in Sodom and Gomorrah. And so we're looking at how decisions. I went on and put the situation down on the paper so that we wouldn't take time to read all the verses and just see what's going on. We're going to look at decisions based on materialistic views can cause heartache for the godly. The background. Lot leaves Haran. He travels with Abraham. You know, he's got these great flocks, and the herdsmen get into quarrel, and they decide to separate. Now, Lot chooses the lush, well-watered, garden-like valley of the Jordan and pitches his tent towards Sodom. Does anyone else need the fans on? Would anyone like fans on? I see you fanning, and, you know, of course, I know my problem, so, huh? Would anyone like to turn on a fan? Okay. I was just going to give you that choice. Okay. Abraham settles in Canaan. Now, of course, Canaan is the land of promise. This is where God has promised for his descendants to settle. And so he tells Abraham that he's going to give him, his descendants, all this land. And so, but he settles in Canaan. So while Lot is living in Sodom, you know, these kings and things break out in war. And so we have that story. They take their women and the possessions. And Abraham rescues Lot. And Melchizedek praises Abraham. But it's one of those things that you think, well, now, why is it that way? Abraham gives Melchizedek, you know, the tithe instead of the other way around, you would think, you know. But no, Melchizedek is the receiver of that. That's another story. So in Genesis 18, we studied where the Lord tells Abraham that he's going to go down and check the great outcry concerning the exceedingly grave sin, okay, of Sodom and Gomorrah. Okay, the two angels who were with the Lord at the oaks of Mamre, where they were talking with Abraham and where the promise was made and all that. And then the Lord is busy telling Abraham that that he's going to go and destroy. And Abraham then intercedes for Sodom and Gomorrah with his pleading to the Lord. And we studied that. And then meanwhile, the angels are on their way to Sodom and Gomorrah to destroy it, because the Lord knows that he's not going to find 10 righteous people. And so the angels are there. And then in Genesis 19, where we pick up with this story of Lot, in verses 1 through 13, the two angels come in to Sodom. And Lot persuades, they're in the square. And Lot persuades them to go to his house for safety, because Lot knows what kind of people live in Sodom and Gomorrah. And so we're going to look at a passage. We're going to hopefully read that about how he knew it and he was troubled by it. His heart was anguished by it every day. And so the men of the city, with immoral intent, because the angels go home with Lot and they're there, they come to his house. And they're beating on the door and they say, give us the two men who you took into your house. And of course, Lot refuses to give them to me. He goes out and he actually offers his daughters. And we'll talk about that maybe a little bit more in the lesson. And the crowd becomes incited. They even press against Lot. The angels reach out and grab Lot and bring him back into safety. They strike the men of the city blind. And then they tell Lot about, they warn Lot, you gather your family and leave because we're about to destroy Sodom. So this is where we pick up, and they also warn not just get your family and leave, but if you don't, you will be swept away with Sodom and Gomorrah. So this is urgent. This is you get your family, you get out of here, and we're going to look at that a little bit more in detail as they begin to leave, even Lot. Okay, so then on your next thing on your lesson is the kindnesses. Now, we've already seen some that God is acting here, okay? And he knows the situation, and he's saving Lot. And we studied about him even remembering. Let's look at 19:29. Let's go back and look at that for a moment. Pat, would you read 19:29?
Thus it came about when God destroyed the cities of the valley that God remembered Abraham and set Lot out of the midst of the overthrow. When he overthrew the cities in which Lot lived.
Okay, and so in 19:16, well, let's go back up there just a second, and let's just pick up a further explanation. It said when Lot was hesitating, and we're going to look at that, when what the angels do, the Lord had compassion on Lot. We're going to look how he acts there, okay, through the angels. Because the Lord had compassion on Lot. He remembered Abraham. He knows, he's thinking about that promise. He's thinking about this man that he's bringing forward to follow him, to teach his children and their children. He's told them about Sodom and Gomorrah. Abraham has pleaded for the righteous. And so all of this is part of the picture. And so, and God has compassion on Lot too. 2 Peter 2:7-8. Sally? Want to read 2 Peter 2:7-8?
Yes. And delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them, in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their lawful deeds, with their unlawful deeds.
So, here is righteous Lot. And see, God sees that. God knows that. And so, remembering Abraham, remembering Lot for his righteous soul, and so he is trying to rescue Lot. Okay? And so, then the angels are a part of that. Not only have they pulled them inside, as we see in 19:10 and 11, when the crowd is pressing against him, and they turn against Lot, you know, out there. We're going to hopefully discuss that a little bit further on about consequences that come and what happens when you try to stand up for right, you know, what people might do. So the angels have saved Lot from the crowd. And now we see some more of the loving kindness that God has for Lot through the angels. Okay? Let's read 12 through 22. Lauren, would you like to read 19, 12 through 22?
Genesis.
Yes, ma'am.
Then the man said to Lot, "Have you anyone else here? Son-in-law, your sons, your daughters, and whomever you have in the city, take them out of this place. For we will destroy this place, because the outcry against them has grown great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord has sent us to destroy it." So Lot went out and spoke to his sons-in-law, who had married his daughters, and said, "Get up, get out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city." But to his sons-in-law he seemed to be joking. When the morning dawned, the angels urged Lot to hurry, saying, "Arise, take your wife and your two daughters who are here, lest you be consumed in the punishment of the city." While he lingered, the men took hold of his hand, his wife's hand, and the hands of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful to him, and they brought him out and set him outside the city. So it came to pass, when they had brought them outside, that he said, Escape for your life. Do not look behind you, nor stay anywhere in the plain. Escape to the mountains, lest you be destroyed. Then Lot said to them, Please, no, my lords. Indeed now your servant has found favor in your sight, and you have increased your mercy, which you have shown me by saving my life. But I cannot escape to the mountains, lest some evil overtake me and I die. See now, this city is near enough to flee to, and it's a little one. Please let me escape there. Is it not a little one? And my soul shall live. And he said to him, See, I have favored you concerning this thing also, in that I will not overthrow this city for which you have spoken. Hurry, escape there, for I cannot do anything until you arrive there. Therefore, the name of the city was called Zoar.
Okay. What do we see the angels doing here for Lot in these passages? What all do they do?
Getting him out of the city so he'll be safe.
Yeah. They tell him, you know, they urged him. That's a strong word. They didn't say, you know, it'd be a pretty good idea, Lot, or, you know, if you think it's the right thing to do, they said, get out.
They took him by the hand.
He hesitates. You know, sometimes, and, you know, maybe we'll have time for discussion on that. Sometimes we hesitate, you know, when we know the right thing to do and we want to do the right thing, but for some reason, something pulling at us or whatever. Of course, he's leaving people behind. And so he's got his wife and his two unmarried daughters and nothing else. And he hesitates. And so to me, this is just another instance where sometimes when our faith is waning a little bit and we're struggling, and that God helps us, you know, whether it's with another person or whether it's we remember his scripture or with prayer, whatever. But God is there to help us when we're struggling and when we need to do something that we know is right and not look back. And he helps us. If we hesitate, if our faith begins to waver, you know, that he's there for us. It might not be angels taking us by the hand, but you know what? We don't know if not sometimes we have met an angel and didn't recognize it when someone has told us, come on, keep on going, be strong, those kinds of things. It's maybe that kind of help, you know. Because these angels look like men. But I'm not going to get into whether, you know, angels walk the earth today. Maybe they do. They're ministers of God. But these angels took him by the hand and pulled him. And so they seized him and they put him outside the city. But then Lot's not through. So he's flesh and blood. You know, he's but human. And so he's going out and he says, but by the way, I don't know if I can quite make it to the mountains. Could you not change it up and not make me have to go so far because I might not make it there, you know? He's asking for mercy. He's asking for a little bit more compassion here. Just get me to, let me go to this little city, you know. And so, what do you think about that? What do you think about Lot here? Let me get your thoughts on it. Anybody?
A big contrast between him and Abraham. When God told Abraham to sacrifice his son, God did it.
Right.
No questioning, no discussion.
Well, and I think more of when Abraham left Ur, you know. Abraham had come a long way. He left Ur, but then he had some difficulties along the way. We're going to see some more difficulties. But by the time he gets to sacrificing Isaac, you know, his faith has grown. His trust.
Abraham since he left Ur.
Yeah, absolutely.
What God has done for Abraham.
Absolutely.
There's no way he could not have learned something from that. He either ignores it or it doesn't sink in or something. He just doesn't have the kind of faith that Abraham does.
Yes. And you know, that was actually one of the things that I put over here on the consequences. Sometimes that when we're surrounded so much, and we'll talk about that, with ungodliness and having to stand, although his soul was tormented day by day for that, but it things rub off and things, and we become not maybe as trustworthy as we should in some instances and everything. But we'll discuss that.
That Lot's a wealthy man.
Yes.
And he's leaving. He's walking out with nothing.
Exactly.
And so I'm not justifying him.
No.
At all.
No.
Faith, he didn't have anything evidently or much when he left Ur. His uncle took him with him, and now he's become this wealthy man.
Yes.
And sometimes when we trust God, but we think of our things, we don't realize or stop to think God gave us all these things, and that's not what's important. But following and doing what God said.
Yeah.
So it still gets back to what Mark said, is like to say.
Exactly. You know, we can sit back in harsh judgment. Well, you know, if I would, I've never done that. Well, duh. You know, if we've been in situations, and I hopefully we'll have time to go into that, you know, and y'all can share situations that maybe that you all have had to make hard decisions and what you've had to come up against, you know, in doing that. And so, but Lot, he perceives his limitations, and here God is taking him out of the city. The angels are with him, and yet he's asking for another favor, you know. I can't do this, and I can't do it by myself. But I've been in a situation where I literally slid down the wall and said, you know, because I was just completely undone, I'm not going to be able to do this by myself. I'm going to need help, God, you know. And so maybe Lot was at that point where it's out of his control. He's struggling. He's leaving. He's, you know, he's running for his life. And God is going to destroy the city. And, you know, maybe he's saying, you know, I need help here. Even though they're there seizing him by the hand and leading him, he says, maybe I can't do this, God, you know. And so don't we ask God to give us strength, maybe to overcome some things, you know, that we're trying to do and it's the right thing to do and we're struggling. And so we sometimes ask, you know, help me, God, help me with this, you know, because I struggle along. And sometimes we need baby steps, you know, and we hate to take great leaps that we think in our mind that maybe we're capable of sometimes. And so, but the angels say, okay, okay. And so they allowed him to go to this place. And then they turned towards Sodom and Gomorrah. And that's where we pick up the severity of God. You know, here's this loving God. He's been kind. But sometimes God has had enough. And they've been doing this, and he's been looking down on them. And, you know, evidently, they're not going to repent. They're doomed, because even when they were given the situation, Lot gave them, you know, don't do this wicked thing. Now, he had courage, and he stood up to that crowd and told them, this is wicked. This is evil. But they wouldn't have any of it. So, you know, we see in the mind of God, God knew they weren't going to repent. God knew that they were evil continually, and it was such an outcry that he's going to destroy the whole city. There are not 10 righteous people in that whole place. Okay, so Sodom and Gomorrah, Genesis 19, verse 13, 23 by 25. What does God do? Susan, what does he do there on Sodom and Gomorrah in those verses?
He destroys them.
He
said this in the storm because the outcries have been great.
Their sin was great. Okay. So, it just wasn't that just some wind come through and blew down everything. Fire and brimstone rained down from heaven. Can you imagine what Abraham saw when he was sitting over here looking at that? Or when Lot, you know, reached Zoar, and then, you know, he's in the valley and he looks over there. You think it's a great lesson for Lot? It was a great lesson for Abraham. Yeah, God keeps his word. God doesn't put up with disobedience. He keeps his promises. And, oh, by the way, there weren't 10 righteous people in Sodom and Gomorrah. And so God has the right to command, and he has the right to punish. And here he is destroying a very evil place. So, then, in 2 Peter 2, 6, and in Jude 7, what do we have from that reading? Elizabeth, would you like to read 2 Peter 2, 6?
And if you condemn the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah to destruction by reducing them to ashes, having made them an example to those who would live ungodly lives thereafter.
Okay. And in Jude 1:7, it's talking about the angels who didn't keep their domain, but abandoned their proper abode, and then they kept in eternal bonds under darkness for the judgment of the great day. That leads into verse 7. Just as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities around them, since they in the same way as these indulged in gross immorality and went after strange flesh, are exhibited as an example in undergoing the punishment of eternal fire. So when people talk about Sodom and Gomorrah, the Holy Spirit here, you know, clearly explains what their sin was. Over here in Genesis, you know, it talks about them come out so that we may have relations with them. Of course, it was talking about sexual relations. It was talking about homosexuality. But some people might not make that jump. But you get over to Jude 1:7, and it is specific what that grave sin that God looked at was and what he did about it. And so, and what he thought about it. And so, you know, and then it talks about it being an example of eternal fire in hell. So somebody not want to believe in hell, you know, of course, they may not believe the scripture about Sodom and Gomorrah either, you know, but someone who is looking for truth just might, you know, you can, if they're, especially if they're living that lifestyle and you're trying to teach them how God views that, because we're in a society today in our country where it is okay. In fact, they're teaching it in schools that it is an acceptable choice. So, we need to be aware. We need to be able to turn to passages. We need to be able to teach our children and our grandchildren that this is how God views this and what he did about it and what he's going to do about it. Of course, we've got 1 Corinthians 6 and other passages where it talks about that they're not going to be in the kingdom of heaven. So, now, that's God's anger, his wrath upon Sodom and Gomorrah and those people there. But God wasn't through, because God gave a command. Let's read 19:17. Sandra, do you want to read Genesis 19:17 and verse 26?
So it came to pass when they had brought the hillside that he said, escape for your life. Do not look behind you nor stay anywhere in the plain. at the gate to the mountain, lest you be destroyed. But his wife looked back behind him, and she became a pillar of salt.
Okay, so God said, get out, don't look back. And I don't think God was talking about it's going to be fearful looking what Sodom and Gomorrah looks like. I think he was looking for trust. I'm leading you out. I'm going to destroy this place. Just go forward. Save yourself. Don't look back. But she did. And she turned into a pillar of salt. That sort of sounds strange to us. I mean, he could have chosen any. I mean, she could have been struck dead, whatever. But she turned into a pillar of salt. And some history that I've read, some commentaries or history and everything about this, that stood for a very long time. And people knew from that place that this was, they say, that it was Lot's wife. This pillar, this huge pillar of salt. Not this little bitty thing, but it was this huge pillar of salt. Okay, but... Yeah. There, in some of the commentaries, in some of the old history, some of the history of the lands of that day, back in when they talk about what happened to the land and that kind of thing. But that's conjecture, and that's just this probably man. But the scripture says she turned into a pillar of salt. So that's all we need to know. And let's. Why do you think she looked back? Just a question.
That's where her heart was.
Well, where was her heart?
Back in town.
Her children were.
Maybe some of her children. They were married ones, that didn't come out. All those things they had. And, we have relationships. We have a life. We have maybe children or grandchildren or whatever, And sometimes when we're called to make hard decisions, that we've got to choose between doing right and then staying among or doing things with or living the same way. We sometimes thought, do we have that longing, or do we have that moment of reminiscing, maybe, and wondering, well, what it would have been like if, or double questioning our decision. But God said, don't look back. And, let's... we can love things about our old life, too. I was fortunate enough to be raised in a home that followed God, who loved the Bible, who tried their best to serve God. A lot of people, I didn't have drinking and drugging and carousing and hollering and things in our lives. Yeah, bad language. I had a little bit, but then they repented. It's that old world. That was one of my things. I was going to say that was one of the hard things for my dad, because my dad come out of the world, and then he come home from the war, and so he had to overcome and renew and really work hard. And his temper, too. And he said even...